This is Job Corps, a one-hour program about Job Corps in general and Tongue Point Job Corps Center in particular. We are in our ninth year. Tonight, we have stories about Valentine's Day, the importance of Job Corps, Tongue Point and Astoria, the Diversity Lunch, intramurals, and our regular features, Good News and Students of the Month. All this on tonight's edition of This is Job Corps. In the studio, we have student reporters Jeannie Leonard-Waller, Brian Mason-McCaw, and Devel Spence. Engineer Terry Wilson, co-producer of this program, is also in the studio. Let's get started. Terry, we have a portion of an interview with Betsy Johnson. Could you give us a bit of background and introduce the piece?
Well, this cut is kind of self-explanatory going into it. But Betsy Johnson and I can't remember the man's name, they do a weekly show, Betsy does, and he sends it out. Well, they did their weekly show at the cafeteria at Job Corps, and the idea of this cut was to thank the businesses that use the Job Corps kids as their in their learning experience, so... Go ahead and play cut machine number two.
Welcome to This Week with State Senator Betsy Johnson. I am Michael Desmond. We are in Astoria, or close to it, at the Tongue Point Job Corps Center. Senator, why are we here?
Well, we're here today to say thank you to the business partners that work very closely with Tongue Point in placing students. And we're going to hear from a student later in the show. But these are the partners that make real work experience possible for the kids that are here. And it's I think, important to recognize them as good community citizens, good corporate citizens. And I think to give more detail, it's my privilege to introduce to our listeners Tita Montero, who in addition to being a city councilor in Seaside, also is just about to celebrate her fifth anniversary working for Tongue Point. It seems like 5 years went in a flash, but I've never seen anybody who likes her job more than Tita does. So Tita, why don't you tell our listeners in the counties that we serve what's going on here and why today is important?
Well, Tongue Point Job Corps Center is one of 122 Job Corps Centers across the country. Job Corps is a program funded through the Department of Labor, and the purpose is to provide employability training to youth ages 16 to 24. And employability training not only includes training and skills in trades, but social skills, all of the what you call the soft skills in business, customer service, how to get along with others, and that kind of thing. Tongue Point is a residential center, as most of the Job Corps centers are. We have 525 students here, and most of our students come from Washington, Oregon, and Idaho. We have 16 trades here, and one trade is really specific to Tongue Point because it's not available at any other Job Corps center in the country, and that's our seamanship trade. And because of that, we also have students from Hawaii, Alaska, California, Virginia, all other parts of the country in addition. Our students, we have 16 trades, so we've got landscaping, culinary arts, we have building trades or construction trades that we partner with the unions on, plastering, painting, glazing, carpentry, cement masonry, facilities maintenance, which is where students can learn a little bit about a lot of different things, plumbing, HVAC, electrical, carpentry. We also have electrician, we have welding, medical assisting, home health aid, dental assisting, and computer service technician, and office technology. And that's a lot to remember.
That is a lot to remember. So how do these students get in here? Can you just show up or what?
Well, you can't just show up. The students have to apply to get to Job Corps. And there's means testing. There's also qualification would definitely be that it's an underserved population, economically disadvantaged population. And so they fill out their application work, paperwork, and then for Tongue Point, they wait. We have a waiting list that, well, it's taking somewhere between 4 and 6 months to actually get in our door once they're on the waiting list. And our trades, most of the trades have about 20 students per classroom. So students go at their own pace, but they are expected to complete like about 10% of their trade learning every month. The average length of stay for a student here is somewhere between 11 and 13 months. Seamanship, it's a mandatory 18 months. And because students are learning at their own pace, they learn in a variety of ways. They are mentored by other students. There's one-on-one with the instructor. There's classroom. There's hands-on. Probably 75% of all their learning is hands-on. So, and then they have all the other opportunities. They're here 24/7. We've got four dorms. They're experiencing dorm life and dorm culture, how to get along with other people. There's recreational opportunities. And pretty much they're being paid. They're paid a small stipend by the Department of Labor to become taxpayers. One of the things I've always said is that they're paying it forward. They're being paid here to learn so that they can go out and become a taxpayer and pay for the next generation of students. That gives the student a foot in the door in their own community. And it's not unusual for our students to be hired by their work-based learning employers. Here in Astoria, we've gotten a really good name for our dental assisting program. Lots of Astoria young adults come to us for the dental assisting, and they do their work-based learning out in the community. We probably have, I'm going to say at this point in time, there's probably 5 or 10 graduates who are working in the community in dental offices that started here and did their work-based learning in those dental offices and then stayed there. We also have students, we have one student right now at Urgent Care Northwest here in Astoria. She started out going as a work-based learning student. They really liked her work, and they hired her. She was hired before she even graduated here. Another student who had been a patient at Coastal Family Health Center and came here for medical assisting, did her work-based learning at Coastal, and is now a medical assistant at Coastal. So this is another way for students to also get their jobs. If this all goes on their resume, because it's truly work experience. And so this is why it's so important to us to make sure that our work-based learning employer partners know that we appreciate them and that we value the work that they put in to helping train students to become employable.
Well, one of the things that we're here today to do is to thank the employer partners that provide work experience for the young people that are here and want to get a hands-on feel for the trade that they're pursuing. We're very fortunate today to have a student with us. His name is Angel Maza. He is sitting next to me in his chef's coat. He's in the culinary program. He'll tell you all about it. But he right now is working actually in a downtown Astoria restaurant, one of the very prominent restaurants. It's a restaurant I love, Bistro. And Angel's going to tell you a little bit about what he's doing and what his future plans are, thinking about perhaps pursuing a career in the culinary arts and hospitality. So it's my pleasure to introduce Angel Maza.
Angel, nice to have you here.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
So how old a person are you, and where'd you come from?
I'm 21. I'm from Salem, Oregon. I've been there all my life. Love it out there. Been up here in Astoria since February. Nice town. Do without all the rain, though.
Well, that's kind of the deal here on the coast, as you're finding out, I'm sure. So how did you get into this program?
I actually looked into it right out of high school. thought about coming up here for culinary. I've always wanted to cook. And I actually started working before that, so I didn't get the chance to come up here. I lost my job, came up, ended up filling out the application process again. Got up here in February, and I've been up here since then, just working in the kitchen.
So what do they teach you here?
A little bit of everything. We go from back of the house, cooking, preparation, cleaning. We can do front of the house with waitressing, money, you know, customer service. It's kind of a little bit of everything. It's a very broad spectrum of what they teach us.
That's very good. So you could be a maitre d' if you wanted to be, right?
I guess.
Yeah. So how about the tools, the knives, you know, the whatever else it is you need as a chef? Do you have to go out and buy those? Do they give you those here?
No, they provide those here. We have our whole knife set, sharpeners, everything we could need we have here. There's some things that kind of little odd end pieces that you only need for one or two things. We actually have a few of those too. So we're very well supplied and we're very well equipped to do our jobs.
Well, I know the communities are excited to have you guys here because there'll be events all over the place, and I'm sure Tita gets constant requests from all sorts of people that would like you to come and cook for them. How often have you had to do that?
Actually, just about a month ago, we did an event. We did a open house at the Senior Center. We catered to that. It was about 200 people. We cooked all the food, we prepped everything, brought it in, and served everyone, and it was a lot of fun.
And what role do you play in something like that? Are you back in the kitchen cooking stuff up for them, or are you out there serving, or what?
Actually, that event I was in charge of, so I had to make sure that the food was getting prepped correctly, everything was on time, everything was out, being able to be served on time so we didn't have backup. I was just kind of, me and a couple other people were just making sure everything went smoothly.
Expediting, in other words.
Yes. No nice. Hiccups.
No hiccups. That's good. That's good. So what do you like to cook?
I like to do breads and pastries is my thing. We do a lot of baking around Christmas time at home. So I go home now and just kind of take control of the kitchen and blow through everything. But that's really what I want to do.
You want to be a pastry chef?
Yes. When I'm done here, I plan on going to Maine. They have a school over there. They teach you specializing in just pastry chef. And that's really where I have my heart set on doing.
You couldn't get farther away from Oregon, could you?
No. Well, I've been to New York once, so it's really nice. It's a nice change of pace, beautiful scenery over there. Well, if you like the city life. But it's a lot of fun.
It'll be quite a culture shock going from little Astoria to, you know, big New York.
I've grown up in small town all my life, so it's quite a change.
Very good. So as far as being a pastry chef goes, you can't just kind of guess and throw things around. You got to be pretty exact in what you're doing, don't you?
Yeah, it's pastries is one of those things where it's kind of like a science. You know, everything has to be exact. It's one minor detail or miss of ingredient will completely throw everything off. It's definitely a very trying thing.
So how's this experience being in a residential setting here where you're pretty much here for, you know, 11 to 13 months or however long this is going to take you? How's that been for you?
It's been good so far. There's a lot of different people here, a lot of different personalities. You get to meet some really interesting people. It's been a lot of fun. I actually met a couple people. I was in a trade before I got into culinary and met a lot of people there. I'm really good friends with my instructor now. I got a letter of recommendation from her. And it's been really interesting. I would recommend it to anyone. It's been a lot of fun up here.
What has been the hardest part for you going through this?
Probably being on center with so many people. It can feel a little crowded at times, but you can always, you know, always have places. We go into town a lot. They take us out on trips, and we can just kind of get off and kind of get out and just kind of feel like we're out in the real world again.
That's always a good thing to be out in the real world, isn't it? So tell me a little bit about what advice you might have for other students who are thinking about this as an option. What would you tell them? What did you learn through going through your process to get in here that might be helpful for them?
Well, I came in with an empty slate, absolutely no experience in what I was doing whatsoever. And, I mean, as long as you're open and, you know, willing to learn, then you're good. I mean, they're always willing to teach you. And if you have any questions, they don't just blow you off. It's always right there. Someone's always there to help you, and it's nice.
And I would think you're making lifelong friends here. You're going to have friends that you're going to have for the rest of your life that you've met here, right?
Yeah, I've actually ran across a couple people that live within 10 minutes of where I live. So it's a very small world.
And you didn't know them?
Oh, I've never met them before in my life.
And here you are. So what do you think of Astoria in the few months you've spent here?
It's a nice town. It kind of reminds me back of a little back of where I'm from, just a lot bigger and more spread out. Small town. I love being right on the water. I've always liked the ocean and being able to look out, and it's nice.
So you're a saucier over at Bridgewater Bistro at the moment, right?
Yes, I am. I do all the sauces, salad dressings. I do a lot of dinner prep. I do a lot of stuff for lunch. I'm just kind of everywhere back there.
So how long do you work there during the week?
I'm there for 6 hours a day, 4 days a week, and I'll be there until February.
And is the executive chef treating you nice?
Yeah. She's really nice. She's fun to work for. She's taught me a lot of stuff there. It's been a great experience.
Can be kind of harried at times, right, when it gets busy?
Yeah, it gets hectic. When things get moving fast, they get moving fast, and you have to keep up. And it's definitely not a very relaxed job. It can be high stress. It can be very fast-paced. But, you know, sometimes you just got to roll with the punches.
And when you switch to pastry, you'll be getting up pretty early in the morning, I would think.
Yeah, I hear it's a 4 a.m. start time for a pastry chef, just because it takes a long time to get everything done.
It does, and you got to start early, and like that guy that got up to make the donuts every day, right?
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite pastry?
Probably breads. I do braided breads, and I've done soft pretzels is probably one of my big ones.
Cool. Good stuff. Anything else you want to tell people about your Job Corps experience?
Nothing really else comes to mind. I would definitely recommend this, though, for anyone that's looking for, you know, career opportunities and would like to get going in something they've always been interested in doing. I'm glad I came up here, and it's been a lot of fun.
We're very lucky also with Bridgewater Bistro. We've had quite a number of students as Job Corps, as work-based learning students there. They have hired, I already know of three that they've hired right out of Job Corps. So they've been really great for our students.
Senator Johnson and I are at Tongue Point, the Job Corps Center. We're actually in the dining hall here, which is going to be filled up with people, I would imagine, at some point, as we're thanking local businesses for their taking parts in the Job Corps program. And we still have some more businesses to mention, I believe, Senator.
We are. We're thanking the employer partners with Tongue Point Job Corps Center. These are the work-based learning businesses that allow the students at Tongue Point to come into their facilities and get hands-on experience. A couple of the other employers that I specifically want to mention are Winterlight, Astor House, Camp Rialea is here, George Construction, Sherman Williams Paints, the Coast Guard. It just gives people a little flavor of the folks that are visiting here. We'll also be joined by Fritz Graham from Senator Wyden's office, and it's a way for us to tangibly say thank you. Some certificates will be given out to these businesses. I hope they display them proudly because they're making a real investment in some young people. And as we all heard from listening to Angel, this is a young man with a very clear-eyed vision of what he wants for his own future. And I just bet you he's going to be a very successful pastry chef someplace. So I'm glad we had a chance to introduce Tongue Point to our listeners before we talk a little bit about what's coming up in politics and on the calendar. And so I appreciate the chance to be here. And Tita was a very gracious hostess in letting us do the show from the dining hall.
Absolutely. And Angel from Salem. So maybe you'll come back to Salem and maybe make some pastries for you and the rest of the Senate at some point. You never know.
Well, just looking at Angel, you know he's going to be successful. I can't let our time here pass without making one other comment. It's not just American kids. There are some really heart-tugging stories. I made a graduation speech here not long ago. Suzanne Bonamici made the last one, Congresswoman Bonamici. But the time that I made it, it was a young man who had come from war-torn Ethiopia. And he spoke no English when he arrived in the United States, found his way to Job Corps, learned to speak English, gave the graduation the valedictory speech. And he said he was going to go back to his village as a doctor and help the people that were his family and his village. And I later found out that he got into the University of Washington, and he's in medical school. And so there are heartwarming success stories here, as well as just the real-life opportunity to get a skill, get the hands-on experience, have the support network of Tongue Point, and be able to go into the job market in a really tough economy right now. Having the Job Corps Training Center behind the folks that have graduated from here is a pretty big deal. They have a high record of job placement, and I would commend this program to anybody. I, too, suffered from the early view that this was a place that where kids that had had trouble went. It really isn't. This is a place where kids that have a good eye on what they want to do in their future come to get advanced skill training, job placement, and real help from the facility to make their way in their chosen career.
Jeannie, you have the good news.
We have the good news. Since our last program, 15 students earned their high school diplomas, 21 students earned their GEDs, 39 students received their driver's permits, and 25 students received their driver's license. Congratulations.
Students of the Month is another regular feature. Devel will start.
This student arrived at Tongue Point Job Corps Center on August 9, 2011. He began training in finance and business. She has proven herself to be an outstanding student and employee. Any task assigned to her is sure to be completed in a timely, accurate, and professional manner. She is fearless in her quest to improve herself and is forever asking questions and making plans for her future. While completing work-based learning at the front gate, her positive nature and consummate professionalism attracted the attention of the Department of Labor assessment team. She was invited to complete an internship at their office in San Francisco. While there, she continued to impress them with her dedication to her work and her education. She is truly an inspiration to her classmates, her instructor, and her peers. She is an exceptional student in Res 3. She is an outstanding hall leader who leads others by example. She has a great rapport with her staff and students. She is very determined to be successful and continues to strive for excellence. She takes the knowledge and skills she learns to excel in her leadership and employability skills. She has an excellent, positive attitude and a smile that brightens everyone's day. She is a positive influence and has the ability to get others involved. She has the attitude and skills to be a valuable employee with a great future. It is with great pride and respect that we recognize Maureen Fontanea as a Student of the Month for December 2012. This student arrived at Tongue Point Job Corps Center on October 25th, 2011, and began training in seamanship. He is an outstanding student who not only has a natural talent for the skills he needs in seamanship, he is a very good welder. He is always ready to volunteer for anything we need. He is a mentor to his peers. He is friendly to everyone and treats those around him with respect. He is self-motivated and takes every opportunity to improve his skills. He goes above and beyond in his duties, and he always has a positive attitude. He is a natural-born leader who always does an exemplary job. When he's working, we know the job will get done with skill. When it comes down to his cares about the opportunity, about the work he does, about his integrity, and about his future career, he wants to be the best positive person because he knows it is important not to only for his own goals, but for his family. He is an inspiration to the staff and students. It is great, with great pride and respect, that we recognize Aaron Domingosil as our Student of the Month for December 2012.
This student arrived at Tongue Point Job Corps Center on July 26, 2011 and began training in seamanship. He is honest, sincere, and reliable. He carries himself professionally and is excelling in the vocation, handling the task given to him with above average leadership skills. He is motivated and frequently mentors new students, taking time to explain and demonstrate procedures. He also excels in his dorm leadership position and balances responsibilities with personal life. He has a positive attitude and is always willing to help out. He is engaged in his career path and has the potential and a drive to achieve his goals. It is with great pride and respect that we recognize James Austria as our Student of the Month for January 2013.
This student arrived at Tongue Point Job Corps Center on September 20th, 2011. After completing home health aid, she enrolled at Clatsop Community College as part of our Advanced Career Training Program. During her time in the vocation, she demonstrated honesty, a strong work ethic, and a willingness to help her peers. She continues to practice the skills she learns so she can master them with confidence. When it comes to knowledge, she has a strong desire to learn and is relentless in the face of difficulty. She is determined to be successful. She cares for others and is often seen helping new students feel more comfortable here. She is polite, respectful, and personable. She is visible all over center, usually helping out in some way. She has a wonderful attitude and is a great role model for other students. Her encouraging, uplifting nature makes working with her a positive experience. It is with great pride and respect that we recognized Charlotina Ells as our Student of the Month for January 2013.
I just wanted to comment that our students who are Students of the Month usually almost seem surprised that they've received the award. I was talking to Charlotina, and she didn't realize that people noticed how much she does around center. And she's very humble. It's interesting because when she helps other people, she's not doing it for recognition. She's doing it because it's the right thing to do. And I find that when most of the students stop by my office to pick up their awards for Student of the Month, that they almost seem surprised and humbled that they got it, that people would notice. I think it's really amazing that we can give a little honor and respect to our students who are really positive role models on our center. Thank you, reporters, for reading those awards. Brian has our next story.
Our executive council played Cupid on Valentine's Day, delivering cards, candy, and roses to students in their vocational and academic classes. The items delivered were purchased in advance by students who wanted to let their special someone know they were thinking about them. Also on Valentine's Day, some students found candygrams on their beds when they went to their rooms after the training day. These bags of candy with a note were made by students in the art room the week previous. Fortunately, Cupid had time to deliver them to students' rooms before they got out of class. To add to the festivities, Residence One hosted a center-wide Valentine's dance on Friday. Activities included a glitter table to make cards and decorate hearts. Delicious snacks were provided, including brownie sundaes with vanilla ice cream and assorted candies, and raspberry sherbet punch.
Thank you, Brian. The dining hall celebrated Black History Month with a special diversity luncheon on Wednesday, planned and prepared with the assistance of student volunteers. Devel, what was on the menu, and tell us a little about what went into preparing that lunch.
The menu was ribs, collard greens, mac and cheese, cornbread, and blackberry cobbler. We started cooking on Monday. We cut 400 pounds of ribs. We marinated them in dry rub. We boiled ham hocks for the collard greens, cooked those for 3 hours. We've made 8 pans of cornbread. We made 30 pans of blackberry cobbler, and we made 60 pounds of mac and cheese.
That's a lot of food. How many people helped prepare the meal?
It was 5 African Americans. It was 5 work-based learning students from culinary, and we had the assistance of the cafeteria staff, which was, I think it was 6.
Well, it was an amazing diversity lunch, and the food was incredible, and you did an amazing job. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Executive Council officers had the privilege of attending a recent City Council meeting. Why did they attend? To hear a very special proclamation.
We have this.
We have this for you.
And Angel, why don't you stand up first? Angel is the president of the student council, and then the rest of the students all stand up, and let's give them all a big round of applause, and thank you for being here. All right, next we have a proclamation to honor our family members here in the community, the students from the Job Corps. And we have the oldest Job Corps. The Tongue Point Job Corps is the oldest one in the country. We meaning both the students at the Job Corps and the City of Astoria, were awarded the award for the national award everywhere in the country, the best city and Job Corps relationship of any municipality and Job Corps in the country. And I think that alone needs a big round of applause. And I have a proclamation I'd like to read. But before I read that, and I don't know, Tita, if you want to come up and, well, how about if I just try to describe it, and you, if you want to add some, you can. Like many very important projects right now, there's a budget crunch in the country, and the Job Corps program itself is right now under a moratorium where we can't add any more students, and is going through the budget process, cutting back. The students have already taken a cut in pay, and there's a graduation bonus which has been cut, and so, but it could be worse. And so I've talked with several members of the staff at Tongue Point and some of the students, and I would like to suggest and get council's unanimous approval that we write a letter to our U.S. senators and U.S. Congress individuals, congressmen and women, and ask them to please not look past this very important project of the Job Corps nationally. And, of course, our special one is the Tongue Point Job Corps. Would that be all right with the council?
So moved.
Okay. There's a motion by Commissioner Lemire. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Herzig. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. Unanimous. Okay, Tita, we will get a good letter, and I'll share it with you before we send it out, but we'll get it to everybody because this is such an important project. The students, most of the students, but it's just a fact, and I'm with you sitting here, are at risk. These students have had a tough time, and they've stood up, and they are here learning a lot. They're adding so much to our community. They're going to become employable and a very important part of this great country. And this program is important, and each one of you are important. And we are really honored to have you as our guest tonight. And so I'd like to read this proclamation, if I could. We have a proclamation. Whereas Job Corps was created by act of the United States Congress almost 50 years ago. Whereas youth enrolled in Job Corps receive academic instruction, gain employability through career training, learn life skills, and receive job placement assistance, making Job Corps the nation's largest and most successful youth empowerment program. And whereas the Tongue Point Job Corps was opened on February 2nd, 1965, I was incorrect, as the second Job Corps Center established. But I was close. Whereas during 2012, Tongue Point Job Corps students provided more than 5,500 hours in community service, supporting organization and events such as the Astoria Senior Center, the Astoria Parks and Recreation, Lighthouse for Kids, Regatta, Midsummer Festival, Clatsop Community Food Bank, and the North Coast Land Conservancy. 5,500 hours. Whereas during 2012, Tongue Point Job Corps students and staff provided more than 3,500 hours of career service training and working, learning on projects for organizations such as the Kiwanis Christmas Tree Sale, Clatsop Care Center Healing Garden, the United States Coast Guard, Seaside's Broadway Park Renovation, Clatsop County Food Banks Community Gardens, Clatsop County Master Gardeners, Clatsop County Clatsop Community College, Grace Episcopal Church Renovation, and the Downtown Beautification Project. And whereas the Tongue Point Job Corps Center provides contributions and donations in support of fundraising by organizations such as the United Way, the Columbia Memorial Hospital Foundation, CASA, Providence Hospital Foundation, Clatsop Community Action, Women's Resource Center, and Clatsop Community College Foundation. And whereas with 525 students and 200 staff members, Tongue Point Job Corps Center is the source of more than $10.6 million flowing through our community's economy. And whereas young adults living and studying at the Tongue Point Job Corps Center value being part of the Astoria community, and we value you. Therefore, I, Willis L. Van Dusen, Mayor of Astoria, do hereby proclaim the week of February 4th through February 10th as Tongue Point Job Corps Center Appreciation Week in Astoria, and we invite all citizens to join in this observation. Thank you very much. Angel, did you want to say anything? Okay. Now, come on up to the microphone. And for anyone this evening that would like to speak, we don't have anyone taking the minutes. Everything is digitally recorded, so all you have to do is give your name and address and go from there. Welcome.
Thank you. On behalf of the Student Government Association, known as SGA, on behalf of Tongue Point, I'd like to give you guys thanks. It's been an honor working with you guys. And on behalf of a lot of students on Tongue Point, we would like to give you a great big applause for giving us the opportunity to strive for the best for this community. Thank you.
Angel, would you come up and receive our proclamation? And just come on up. And just for the record, how do you spell your last name?
E-N-E-L-I.
E-N... No, here you say it right in here.
It just goes for the minutes. That's what I mean. Go ahead. How do you spell it?
E-N-E-L-I.
Perfect. Thank you again, Angel. Now, your students are excused. Thank you very much for coming tonight. Yeah. Come back. We like seeing you.
One of the things I found amazing at the presentation at City Hall, I work with our student government officers on a daily basis, and Angel, our president, is somebody that has an incredible amount of confidence and poise, and it's amazing when you get people in front of a microphone, in front of the city council and the mayor, how easily that poise can disappear and people get so nervous. But they did a great job. Our students represented us very well. I'm very proud of them, and very proud of the relationship we have with the community. Executive Council officers had the honor of delivering food donated by Tongue Point staff during their annual food drive to the Clatsop Community Action Regional Food Bank. 248 pounds of food was donated and delivered. Thank you, staff and students of Tongue Point. Jeannie's here with an intramurals update.
Yes, I do. We are in the fourth week of intramurals basketball. There are four teams, each coached by a residential advisor. This week, the undefeated Pirates beat the Gorillas, who are now 1-3. The Buccaneers beat the Titans by 1 point, putting the Buccaneers at 2-2, and the Titans at 1-3. Our mascot made an appearance to pump up the jam. Prizes were tossed into the audience at halftime. There are just three more weeks until the finals. We'll report back next month to let you know if the Pirates can maintain their perfect record.
It's a lot of fun. I think one of the changes that was made recently is the intramurals used to be dorm versus dorm. And to even out the teams, what they did is people sign up and then they're put on teams. So although each dorm has a coach, they might be coaching people from each residence. So it's a really good example of teamwork and working together. They're working harder on getting people to come and cheer teams on, and having the mascot there just makes it even more amazing. One of the things we're working on this term is student government visibility. And the first thing we've decided to do is have an SGA versus the world volleyball game. And our student government officers are going to play against any staff and students that want to show up and play against them. So I plan on being there to cheer on our SGA team. We can report back on that again next month. Brian has news about an upcoming event. Brian?
On the 28th of this month, we are going to be having the second Writers Showcase. The Writers Showcase is an event that we hold for writers all on center to come together and read other writers, their works, to share what they've been doing, so on and so forth. At the end of the event, everyone who participates gets a little pizza party, and it's a lot of fun.
Now, did you participate? Have you participated in this before?
Yes, I have. I participated at the last one that we had.
How many students or staff were involved?
There was only a couple members of the staff, but we had a really good turnout of students that came in. Just about every single student that came in with a piece of writing, we had another student in there who came just to listen. So we ended up with probably about 40 people total.
And is there any particular genre that's represented?
Nope. It's all just completely free form. Some people did poetry. Some people wrote short stories. It was 10 tons of fun.
Brian, if you were to choose your favorite kind of genre that you like to read and stuff, what genre do you like?
What I like to read? I'm going to say either horror stories or poetry. I really, really like poetry.
That's a diverse...
Have you written a horror story or any of that for the showcase that we can look forward to hearing?
I've written a poem that I really like, but I'm not very good at writing horror stories. I've tried. It's hard.
It's just one more opportunity our students to have to really show their creativity. And we have an amazing art room on center. And Connie, I believe, the art room coordinator, is the person who runs the Writer's Showcase. So just getting students involved and sharing their creativity with others is another amazing opportunity our students have on center. Jeannie, you have an event you can tell us about.
Yes, I do. Well, this month we at the Calsip Community College, because I am a Tongue Point Job Corps student who also gets the opportunity to be at the college program, and I'm currently in this class called Women's Studies, and it's about social action. And right now we are fighting against domestic violence in the Clatsop County and all over the world. And yesterday was, as we all know, was Valentine's Day. Well, Thursday was Valentine's Day. And we had an amazing event. Just because it was Valentine's Day, it was like a nationwide event that everybody was taking part in. And what happens is that we had a half an hour. And there's these two wonderful women in my class that shared their experience about being domestic, survivors of domestic violence. And then at like 12:15, now mind you, this is happening all over the world, so it's kind of like a ripple effect, that at 12:15 exactly, there's this $1 billion and rising that Eve Ensler, a really great activist, started. And so there's a $1 billion and rising song, and everybody got up and danced against domestic violence against women. And then they sold bracelets, they sold necklaces, and all the profits that we sold for that day went to the Women's Resource Center to support their programs and locally. And that was like a really powerful thing, because I could just imagine all around the world, starting clear to Zimbabwe, all these women standing up, and it wasn't just women that was there, men and everybody else joined in to support domestic violence against women and saying this is wrong. And it was like, it was a teary eye moment for me, and it was a very powerful moment. And that's not the only project that we're doing for domestic violence either. We're also partaking in another event that happens nationwide, and it's called the Clothesline Project. Now, the Clothesline Project, as we all know that every 15 seconds, a woman and a woman everywhere is experiencing some kind of domestic violence, and one out of three girls, women, will be raped by in their lifetime, and one out of three girls will be sexually abused by the time they reach of 18, and it's really an outrageous statistic. And what we do is fight against that, and we. Some people do better with words. Some people do better with dancing. But some people do a lot better if they can have their artistic way of representing their pain and everything. So that's where this comes in. And we had on Wednesday and Thursday from 3 o'clock to 7 o'clock, we were up at the college, and people painted different shirts to represent their represent the domestic violence that was happening, or sexual abuse, or incest, or anything that happened. And there was different colors that we used to represent different things, like green and yellow were representing of people of sexual abuse. White was representing somebody who died because of domestic abuse, and there was blue, but I forget all the colors that represented this stuff. But so Job Corps participated in this as well, and Marcy Swenson, the that is in charge of the Prism group and the diversity group, brought up a van full of students who came up and painted shirts as well. And a few of them, I'm going to share a few of the shirts that I saw. The one, there was one that said "Breaking the Silence Heals," and it had, like, one shirt had handprints and said that hands aren't for hitting. And then this 8-year-old boy came with his mom, and this 8-year-old boy put on the shirt, "Please don't hit my mom." And it really made me cry, but really made me really thankful that I'm part of this women's studies group that is supporting against domestic violence.
Thank you, Jeannie. When I walked into the rec hall on Friday, it smelled like pizza. Devel, you're in culinary. Can you explain?
Yes. SPO, Student Person Offices, they put on a function where if a trade has no terminations or AWOLs, they will supply pizza for that trade. So this time there was 6 trades. 3 trades got pizza today. We make pineapple Hawaiian pizza. We make vegetarian, pepperoni, cheese. We make mushrooms, or a combination.
And you do make amazing pizza. Culinary also makes pizza when we do our monthly student awards luncheons. And this is a great opportunity for students to practice their skills, but also recognize the trades that are really committed and focused on success, and the students that do that. And another way our students get opportunities to practice their skills is through work-based learning. And when students reach a certain point in their vocation, they get an opportunity that either on-center or off-center to work in a setting related to their trade and to practice their skills. I'm going to have, I know Jeannie, Devel, and Brian have all done work-based learning, so I'm going to open up their mics and just have them talk a little bit about the work-based learning experience, how it helped their skills in a real-world setting, and just the experience that they gained by doing this. Who wants to go first?
I guess I'll go first. I did my work-based learning site. I graduated from medical assisting, so I did my work-based site at the Health and Wellness Clinic at the Job Corps Center. And the nurses up there was fabulous and gave me all of the tools necessary to, like, be able to take vital signs, because I believe it or not, I was really scared when I did my first set of vital signs in front of the boss. So I just have to realize that it taught me that I just need to take a deep breath and be confident in my own skills and not be so nervous and freeze up. And I got to draw blood from the nurses, and I got to give injections to all the new students that came in. But you know what it really taught me is the in medical assisting, in any really profession that you have to practice confidentiality and not treat anybody differently. So, like, for an example, Brian, if I saw Brian up there or if I had saw DeVille, I had to act like they didn't ever come up to health and wellness, and I had to keep that strictly professional. So it really helped me realize that it's so easy to try to slip up and stuff. So it really taught me not to really talk about things.
Did your work base reiterate for you that was the career you wanted to do?
Yes, I may not want to be like a medical assistant per se, but I do want to be a part of the healthcare profession. And right now I want to work after, because I'm in my last term at CLADSEP and will be having my degree. And so I would like to go to Portland State University and get my credentials to be a social worker at the hospital.
Excellent. Thank you. DeVille or Brian?
I'll go. I did my work base on center at Tongue Point Job Corps Center. I worked in the cafeteria. The work base is 6 weeks long. First week, you start off doing the salad bar. That's restocking the salad bar, making sure everything's wiped down. The second week was working with the preparation of lunch. During the preparation of lunch, you could be chopping onions, panning cheese, chili. The third week was basically like the second week, but you had more freedom to work with somebody if you wanted to. But the last couple of weeks, that's where you're like the senior on work base. You do soups for weeks, like the last 2 weeks you do soups. What it is Jean, the one who runs the cafeteria at center, you take all the leftover food and you make a soup. So we start off making a mirepoix, which is we chop celery and onions and carrots. We put that in the kettle. We cook that. And then we'll run into the number three, which is the refrigerator. And you would get the leftover foods from the day before. And then you would make a soup out of it. So the soup that you're eating, I think that's a good thing to do, because not only are you making a soup, but you're taking something that was already used and then rearranging it into something that somebody likes.
That's a good skill. It really cuts down on food waste. That's right. A really good skill to have.
Yes.
So do you want to be in the food service industry?
Yes, I would. I want to work on a cruise ship to be a cook, or I want to go work for MSC Military Sealift Command.
Awesome. And the soups and salad bar are really amazing. So now it's interesting. Thank you for giving me that information. Now I know how you do it. I know the secrets. Brian.
I got a chance to go out to Warrenton and work with the United States Coast Guard at their airbase. I got to work with the electrician's mates, and I got to work on all the various projects between Tillamook to Cape Disappointment. I had a lot of fun doing it. I got to work on a lot of different projects. Got to work on all different facets of electrical systems. I can definitely say that I enjoyed all of my time out there. I got to use a lot of tools I wouldn't have gotten a chance to use otherwise. And I definitely am grateful for the Coast Guard for giving me a chance to go out there and to prove myself.
And they really appreciated you as well. I understand you got a letter of recommendation.
Yes, I did. I managed to work hard enough and long enough that they were willing to give me a letter of recommendation that I think is going to help me quite a bit when it comes to getting a job when I graduate.
And is this the right field for you?
Absolutely.
Excellent. So you all had very positive work-based learning experiences. Thanks for sharing those with us today. Just as a reminder, that was our theme music by former student Joel Pruitt. And Terry was wondering how many shows Jeannie has done. This is possibly the next to last show, if we can get her to come on one more time. We were thinking about how many shows, and we can't remember how many, but what do you like about doing the radio show, Jeannie?
I like to hear my own voice, and I like to talk a lot. And talking a lot and eating food is for, like, usually my favorite things to do. So why not do the radio show where I'm talking to all of you lovely people and promoting the good things about Job Corps? Because it's there to be a constant reminder that Job Corps is a really great place. And there's some great young adults out there that are wanting to be contributing to a more positive life.
I know we had to put in on the show where she had to mention food, because that's been the ongoing theme every show she's been on. You mentioned food to her, and she gets a big smile, and she starts quivering.
Well, we hope you can join us again next month. And, you know, we've had former students on the show as well, so maybe down the road you can come back and be our Job Corps success story.
That would be nice.
Thank you, Jeannie. Thank you, Terry. So there you have it, the February 2013 edition of This is Job Corps, a monthly radio magazine about Job Corps in general and the Tongue Point Job Corps Center in particular. Job Corps has been around for 48 years. 48 years of helping young people. Thanks to our incredible student reporters, Brian Mason McCaw, Jeannie Leonard Waller, and Devel Spence. I wouldn't want to do this show without them. Thank you to Terry Wilson, co-producer of this program, and thanks to everyone for making this show a success. Thank you to the staff and students of Tongue Point Job Corps Center, to local businesses and citizens for their help and support with this program. It is our hope that through this program, everyone has become aware of how very important the Job Corps concept is to all of us, locally and nationwide. In 48 years, Job Corps has helped more than 3 million young men and women gain the education, training, and social skills they need to become responsible, contributing members of society. Job Corps, 3 million careers, one future at a time. Job Corps, where success lasts a lifetime. Job Corps, the bridge to success. Thank you for listening. On behalf of Tongue Point Job Corps Center, I'm Tamara Walker for KMUN and KTCB. We will be back in March for our next edition of This is Job Corps. See you then.